Okay, once again, we'd like to turn to Psalm 23. The Bible should just about automatically open there. We've been on Psalm 23 for 80-some weeks, and we've got a little bit ways to go. We've been looking at verse 5, my cup runneth over. The whole series of these lessons, the point is that we ought to live Psalm 23. It ought to be our life. It ought to be descriptive of our life. And here we see that life ought to be a life of overflow. What that overflow is, of course, is revealed in the context of the psalm. We've said that this phrase, my cup runneth over, I look at it as the equivalent of an exclamation mark. He's stopped for a moment and thought upon what he has said, what he has written. And he says, my cup runneth over. Our cup ought to run over if we think upon just the general blessings of life, our creation, how God sustains us. It's a miracle every second of every day. And just thinking upon those things and God's providence in our life, how God leads us, how God puts people into our lives, and on we could go. Then we saw last week there are the blessings of salvation. That, of course, is something we ought to think upon often, every day. And when you do, your cup gets full. And your cup runs over. We all have a cup. Sad thing is, many fill it with the world and makes their life miserable. But if we think upon spiritual things, our cup will overflow with spiritual things and it makes a difference in our life. So our cup overflows at the thought of salvation. And then there are the spiritual blessings of God. All mankind has the physical blessings of God, the blessings of creation, the blessings of life, the blessings of sustaining life. All mankind has that in common. Most don't realize it, but it's true. Blessings of salvation, of course, are limited to you and I that are saved. These spiritual blessings, as a result of being saved, are something the world knows nothing about. The world quotes Psalm 23 often, but most who do so have no idea what it means. They quote it because it's beautiful, and it is beautiful, but it means nothing to them. For you and I that are saved and live the life that God has called us to live, we understand what this 23rd Psalm says because we experience it. We've been experiencing it for ever since the day the Lord saved us. So I want to think about, when just kind of look at the whole psalm, because the psalm does reveal these spiritual blessings. The very first words are, the Lord is my shepherd. And if you stop and just think upon what that means, your cup will be filled, your cup will overflow. The Lord is my shepherd. And notice, as you read through the psalm, we've pointed this out already, but verse 2, look at the first three words, but skip the second. He, me. You go down to the middle part of the verse, again, three words, skip the second. He, me. He, me. Verse 3, he restoreth. Skip that. He, my. He, me. Verse 3. And on it goes. Verse 4, thou art with me. Skip art and with. Thou, me. Thy, me. Verse 5, thou, me. Thou, my. And now verse 5, my cup runneth over. He, me. That's wonderful. That's the grace, that's the mercy of God. He leadeth me. He maketh me. That's God doing something out of his goodness and kindness for you and I. That's grace. He, me. That ought to be our life. He, me. He, me. What a wonderful life. And then we can, if that is true, we can truly say, my cup runneth over. Everything in the psalm goes back to that first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. You take that phrase out, the rest of it doesn't mean anything. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything in the psalm is dependent upon that. Everything in the psalm goes back to that. Everything in the psalm flows from that. The Lord is my shepherd. And notice the blessings of such I shall not want. And when we were on that portion of Scripture, we showed that that really means two things. I shall not want any other. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no need for any other. It also means lack. I shall not lack. In other words, because he's my shepherd, he has everything I need. And there's no need for lack. And when we can truly say, I shall not lack, we can truly say, my cup runneth over. He goes on in verse 2, he maketh me. And then he says, he leadeth me. Again, all through the psalm, it's God, the shepherd, that's doing, is the performer of the action. We don't make him, and we don't lead him. And anybody knows anything about God, and anybody knows anything about human depravity, why in the world would you want to lead God? Why in the world would you want to make God? But he maketh me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let's be honest, there's times you and I don't want anything to do with the green pastures. We don't want to lay down in the green pastures. We don't have time. Aren't you glad that he makes me lie down in green pastures? We say sometimes, well, I'm not going to do that. And he says, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. And he maketh me. And he does so gently and kindly. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. So he maketh, he leadeth. That speaks of his direction. Speaks of his purpose. When he makes us or when he leads us, he does so with purpose. And it's always for our good. It speaks of safety and security. We'd have destroyed our lives a long time ago. But he makes and he leads. And when we look back upon that blessing, again, our cup is filled. It's more than filled. It overflows. He goes on and he says, he restoreth my soul. That is, the Lord as the shepherd restoreth our soul. A shepherd is someone who cares. Because he cares, he restores. It also says something about us. We get in a state, we get in a condition that we need restoring. And it's not just he restored my soul once, but he restoreth. He does so continually because that's what we need. But that speaks of the long suffering of God. He restoreth my soul. My dad would say, I'm not going to tell you again. But I'm glad the Lord does. He tells me again and again and again and again. He restoreth my soul. That means he strengthens us. It means that he heals us. He revives us. He imparts to us. He enlightens us. And on and on you can go. When you think about all the times that God has restored our soul, again, our cups are filled to overflowing. My cup runneth over. Again, we're talking about just the spiritual blessings of life that you and I experience all the time. Verse 4, he says, thou art with me. It's always true. Always true. We don't always realize it, or we don't always recognize it. We don't always see it, but it's true. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Even the times when, let's be honest, there are times because of our nature, we don't necessarily want to be with him. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. He goes on, and again, if you think about God's presence, our cups are filled. Our cups are filled to overflowing. He has a rod and a staff, and he uses those for our benefit, for our good. It says, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you think of all the times when God has brought comfort to us. You know, there are people, and I suppose we've all been there to some degree. It doesn't make sense, but there's a lot of things we do that don't make sense. There are people who don't want to be comforted. I mean, they'll actually get offended if you try to comfort them. And perhaps there are times when we don't want the comfort of the Lord, but he comforts us anyway, because, again, he cares. And when we think about all the comfort of God, and no one can comfort like him, again, our cups are filled. Our cups run over. And perhaps my favorite part of the psalm, other than the Lord is my shepherd, thou preparest a table before me. Think of all the tables that God has prepared for us. Again, it doesn't say, thou prepared a table for me. Oh, he has. But he preparest. He continues. We don't always need the same thing. Sometimes we need something different. Speaking of different from the Lord. Whatever it is we need is on that table. And he's prepared it. And he knows what we need. That he may, thou preparest. That is, he makes ready for me a table. He makes ready for you a table. What's on the table He has made ready for you may be a little different than what's on the table that He's made for me. But He makes ready a table, and He does so with forethought. Again, we've said it over and over, when someone sets a table, there's some thought that goes into it. You just don't strew everything on the table. There's some forethought. There's some forethought with regards to what's on the table. There's some forethought with regard to who's going to be around the table. And so it is with God. He gives forethought and He prepares a table. And I believe the table's always there. It says, in the presence of mine enemies, that is not necessarily a good time, but there's a table there prepared by God. And I believe that table's always there. We don't always see it. We're oblivious to it many times, but it's there. And we need to look for it. He prepares the table with some care. He does so with love and wisdom. If you're having someone over to dinner and you know for a fact that they're allergic to something, you don't put that on the table. And you don't put something on the table that you know is going to harm them. And so it is with God. What's on that table, there's nothing harmful on that table. Now you go and eat at the world's table, you're going to get poisoning. Soul poisoning, but you won't get that at the Lord's table. And we think of all the tables that God has provided for us, all the tables God's caused us to see and caused us to sit down and partake. And again, our cups are filled and our cups run over. He goes on to say, Thou anointest my head with oil. Again, all of this speaks of the willingness of the Lord toward us. It speaks of His availability to us, His thoughtfulness of us. And then there's all these things that are just appropriate to us, appropriate to our spiritual life. The things in the world are not appropriate to our spiritual life. They are not suitable to our spiritual life. They are not beneficial to our spiritual life. But God has, being the shepherd, has provided that which is appropriate to our spirituality, that which is suitable and beneficial to our spiritual side. Again, He mentions the green pastures. The green pastures, the world doesn't want anything to do with them. But for you and I that are saved, the green pastures are suitable to our new man. The green pastures speak of that which is wholesome, that which is fresh, that which is comfortable, that which is nourishing. It speaks of an abundance. It speaks of sufficiency. There are green pastures. God knows where they are. And He makes us lie down in green pastures. We see also there are the still waters. These waters are life-giving. They're beneficial. They're miraculous. They can be anywhere. Maybe in the middle of the desert. The still waters. Again, sheep are frightened by rushing waters. So He leads the sheep by the still waters. Speaks of peace. It speaks of refreshment. And how many times we have enjoyed the green pastures. The world knows nothing about it. How many times we've enjoyed the still waters. World knows nothing about it. It can be a raging storm, and the Lord knows where the still waters are and leads us. We can be in the midst of the raging waters, but within our soul, He creates still waters Again, when we think of God's provisions, the green pastures, the still waters, our cup is filled. Our cup overflows. He also mentions paths of righteousness. The world wants nothing to do with the path of righteousness. The world's blind to the path of righteousness. The world's ignorant concerning the paths of righteousness. And it's plural. There are paths of righteousness. And I don't care what your situation is, what our circumstances might be. There is a right thing to do and there is a wrong thing to do. There are paths of unrighteousness, there are paths of righteousness. And there are times where we want to take the paths of unrighteousness, but He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness. It's always the best path. Doesn't matter what anybody else does, it's always the best path. Do what's right. Do what God would have you to do. Again, there's that table before us, speaking of His provision, speaking of His fellowship, speaking of His friendship, His generosity. There's His goodness and mercy, as you read on in verse 6. There's also the house of the Lord, which I believe refers to heaven here, but there is also this house of the Lord. So it's no wonder, as David writes the 23rd Psalm, that he comes to this point and he says, "My cup runneth over." The truth is, you can take that phrase and put it at the end of every phrase in Psalm 23. My cup runneth over. The Lord is my cup runneth over. The Lord is my shepherd. My cup runneth over. And on you can go. So it's no wonder that David wrote that. And imagine what he felt when he did write it. My cup runneth over. And I believe that he probably stopped there for a while. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. And that is one of the results of meditating upon the Word of God. Think of all the times you've read a verse of Scripture and your cup is just filled. You just read it. No one had to comment on it. You just read it. And your cup is filled and your cup overflows. And you think upon that Scripture and you meditate upon it. And the cup just keeps overflowing. And it can overflow to the benefit of someone else. When our cup runs over spiritually, it doesn't do anybody any harm. Oh, they think it does. But it doesn't. It doesn't hurt anyone. It can only help them when our cups run over. In fact, when our cups aren't running over, something's terribly wrong with you and I. Something's wrong with us spiritually. It's one way we can gauge our spiritual health. Is our cup running over? It ought to all the time. It ought to always be running over. So we see, thinking upon just the general blessings of God of life, our cups run over. Then we advance from that and you think about God saving our soul. How can your cup not run over? And then you think about what a wonderful life that we have as a result of salvation, the wonderful experiences that we've had as a child of God. And our cup runs over. Another thing that our cup overruns with is that phrase, "My cup runneth over," is indicative of our response to God. It is indicative of our response to God. David, recollecting the love, the grace, the mercy, the long-suffering, the care, the touch, the guidance of the Lord in his life, exclaims, "My cup runneth over." Yes, it runs over with all of those blessings, but it also overflows with our response to God. And we'll look at that portion, or consider that portion, next week. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father,